Welcome to Trial Lawyer View, a podcast for and about trial lawyers. We tell the stories about trial lawyers who go to battle every day in courtrooms throughout the United States for injury victims. This is about their stories and their practices. Trial Lawyer View is brought to you by Synergy Settlement Services. Synergy allows trial lawyers to focus on what they do best by handling the difficult issues that arise in settlement, like troublesome lien resolution issues, Medicare secondary payer compliance, government benefit preservation techniques, and complex settlement consulting. Without further delay, here's another episode of Trial Lawyer View with Chris Dreyer.
Welcome to the Trial Lawyer View podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to have Chris Dreyer join me. Chris is the CEO and founder of Rankings.io. He's made a remarkable mark in the world of SEO, leading his agency to be a consistent presence on the Inc. 5000 list for five consecutive years. His career trajectory is as intriguing as it is impressive. Starting with a degree in history education, transitioning through affiliate marketing and excelling in online poker, Chris has now become a leading figure in legal marketing. As an expert specializing in helping elite personal injury law firms achieve significant results through Google's organic search, Chris offers a wealth of knowledge on leveraging SEO to gain a competitive advantage. In today's episode, we explore his deep expertise and knowledge related to SEO and niche legal marketing techniques. His insights begin to unlock some of the mystery surrounding how to be incredibly successful in marketing a personal injury law firm practice online. Chris, thank you for joining me today and welcome to Trial Lawyer Review.
Jason, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So I wanted to start out with a little bit about you and your journey that led you to starting Rankings.io, your company, because from my research, I know that you got a degree in history, got into online poker and card games, and then became a leading figure in legal marketing. Seems like a bit of a crazy path. How the heck did you get here?
You know, the crazy thing is I went to college. I told my mom that I was going to college. You know, I was going to do that for her and my dad, and they wanted me to have this security, but I was going to open my own business. So I knew that out of the gate, that I had that entrepreneurial blood in me. Truth be told, I was not the best college student. I got into partying a little bit too much and hanging around with some of the athletes that I used to play ball against. And somehow, I ended up with a history education degree. And I thought I was going to coach college basketball. That was my background. Basketball was my sport. And I was working at this high school in a detention room. And I was a detention room supervisor, and the reason I took that job is because if I was a one-year detention room teacher and then I was a teacher the next year, I was a two-year on the teacher track, they counted it. And I had all this downtime, and I typed in how to make money online, you know, the perfect query. And somehow, after all the coupon submissions and survey, you know, random jobs, I found this affiliate marketing course. I took it, I made like $20, but I was hooked. I got that first $20 hit my bank account. I was like, oh, I can sell other people's stuff. And by the end of my second year teaching, I was making about four times the amount doing that I was teaching. And, you know, my parents still wanted me to be a teacher, but I quit and I moved to Florida to learn digital marketing and be an affiliate marketer. And yeah,
I get it. I was a terrible student in high school. I mean, mainly because I didn't apply myself, and then went to college, did well in college, and then when I went to law school, did really well in law school, but then kind of a weird path to getting to where I am today, you know, from being a litigator to getting into settlement planning and then ultimately starting my own company, Synergy. So it's funny how, you know, and I think most people have that sort of nonlinear path to get to ultimately your destination, where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, I've had these like different obsessions. You know, people call it focus and what have you, but I've had this extreme OCD. When I was in high school, it was basketball. Like, captain of the conference, recruited everywhere, spent a lot of time, you know, Saturdays, Sundays practicing. And then it was affiliate marketing, and it's still, truth be told, a lot of that. It's still the same. But I got into a couple of my roommates. One of my roommates played a collectible card game called Legend of Five Rings, and we just played it for fun. And then the competitive side of me, you know, wanted to win and started obsessing about that. And before I knew it, him and my roommate and a few friends of mine, we were world-ranked players, you know, invited to other countries to play in these CCG events. And I, you know, won multiple state championships. And so that was a path that's odd that not a lot of people know. You know, if you Google Chris Dreyer and you really go deep, you'll start seeing some weird stuff about collectible card games. And yeah, that's me. It's not a different person. Then there was a different path where one of my roommates, the other roommate, he was a professional poker player, and he didn't just, you know, he wasn't a casual gamer. He had a coach. He had a mindset coach. He had a hand, like they reviewed hand history. And so he taught me, and I played something like 40,000 hands in a month, and we reviewed all of our losers, not the winners, the hands that didn't go right. I ended up playing in a tournament. It was 14,000 players, and I got third. And the funny thing was, is he staked me. He's like, hey, you know, I'll pay for it, and whatever you win, you know, I'll just give me half. Well, ended up being $234,000. You know, did that, kind of had a poker run, and was doing the affiliate marketing. And then I saw the opportunity. I wanted to take it more serious, and then started doing the agency space. And that's kind of the long-winded way of how I got into this, through different trajectories. But that's how I started the agency, was after a few of these other experiences.
It's crazy. So I'm curious now, because of what you just talked about, like your experiences with sports and collegiate sports and online gaming, and affiliate marketing. How did all of that morph into an influencer approach to your segment now, which is being, you know, an expert in the SEO legal marketing space? Like, what is, how did that educate you? Like, what were the learns from all of those experiences that helps you today with being successful in what you do?
I think it was a lot of how I was raised. My dad was not the most tender of dads. He's, you know, still isn't. He's very competitive. You only play a game to win. He's the type of guy that if you're playing Yahtzee and you roll the wrong dice, will tell you, you know, and there's a mathematical way to do things. So everything has been about competing. And what I found is it's the extra 1% in all of these. It's an execution thing. You take the collectible card game route. Well, everyone practices, everyone understands the cards, but who then practices different scenarios, different things, and like puts in the hours to be the best. Same for poker. Like, a lot of people will read poker books and learn how to be an effective card player, but who plays 40,000 hands and reviews all their losing hands, the individual action for each hand? It's that extra 1%, and it just kind of compounds. And it's the same for digital marketing. It's who reads patents, Google patents. I mean, if you go ask other individuals, like, how many do? Well, we do, right? Because they tell a story. They tell it that you get a greater understanding of what actually impacts the search results and Google. And right now we've got a data scientist that we run Ahrefs, which is a tool that collects data across the web on the top 200 cities and all the personal injury law firm websites that rank in those 200 cities. Determine the variable factors that impact rankings. So in our industry, not across all industries. So every time there's an algorithm update, well, it refreshes, and I can see which variable factor increased, which one decreased. And it just helps us doing these things. It's like, it's just not common, but it's just that extra 1% that really lifts the whole ship to really create an impact for ultimately for our clients.
Well, I can totally identify with what you talked about with your dad and competitive, because I am exactly that. I grew up bike racing, and I was pretty competitive, you know, doing that. Raced in nationals and raced in Europe a bit, and then more recently got into racing cars, which is part of what feeds that competitive nature, but also that need to strive to be the best at something, right? Like there's that, I don't know. And I think that's part of the entrepreneurial thing. Like to be a really good entrepreneur, you've got to have part of that drive and desire to be, you know, as competitive as you possibly can be in your space. So that really resonates with me. But that idea that you are talking about, which is going that extra mile in terms of what a personal injury law firm is doing to understand their space and how to bring in clients in terms of marketing. You know, and doing my research for the podcast, I saw you talk about this concept of expert level marketing. And I'm curious, what does that mean in the context of personal injury law firms that are trying to secure more clients for their practice?
There's a lot of different components to it. To start, it's with an understanding of capital allocation and what your average fees are. So, you know, I got this from Chad Dudley, and of course, this is nationwide, right? So there's some exceptions, like Maryland has lower fees. But like if you're a PI attorney and you're less than $10,000 attorney fees, that's not good, really. I mean, unless you just have, you're able to acquire cases like extremely cheap, right? If you're in the 10 to 15,000, that's good. If you're above 15, very good. If you're above 20, that's excellent, right? So, you know, and I'm not an attorney, so the operational side of working up a case and litigating and getting more value, that first of all, it starts there with opportunities, because the person that can spend the most to acquire the case will win, because it's not going to the competitors. And it opens up different opportunities. You take Google Ads. Some people will tell you it's amazing. Some people tell you it doesn't work. Well, there's multiple facets to this. First, if they don't put enough capital into the campaign, then you may not get the economies to acquire the case. And you may just get unlucky, right, if you don't put enough. But if you do proper capital allocation and you can get the attorney fees, that's the recipe for success. So I think a lot of it comes with capital allocation. But the other, you know, taking that whole 1%, the extra mile type of scenario on what makes excellent legal marketing, you can look at this in every part of marketing. Reviews. Everybody knows that you need reviews. And some people will ask when the person picks up a check and they've had a good experience, and maybe they'll even use software. But the excellent marketers, they have a really refined process where at every facet of the campaign, at every milestone, there's a potential opportunity to get a review. The words and phrases that they use to turn down a case could actually lend itself to a positive review, not a negative review. Anytime that an individual says thank you is an opportunity to get a review, and activating the whole team, incentivizing the whole team. So you take something just like reviews, and there's levels to the game and how it impacts your marketing, and from a MAPS perspective and SEO, an LSA perspective. LSA ranks on region, response, and review. Well, region, you're not going to impact. Response, let's just assume you're answering your phone and responding to messages quickly. Well, what's the other lever? It's reviews. So it's things like that that people take for granted that really have the most impact on their ability to grow and do that top 1%, be that top 1%.
Well, and there's, I think, a little bit of a lack of focus on customer experience. And I've had other guests talk about that. And you know, that's something that we also talk about with our clients, in saying to them, you know, in healthcare lien resolution, for example, usually the last thing a client experiences is a reduction of their net settlement because a lien holder has to be reimbursed. And how long that takes and the amount of money that gets deducted from their net recovery can negatively impact, if it's not handled appropriately, the last experience that a client has with the law firm. And that just the idea of totally focusing on that customer experience to make sure that you're getting the best possible reviews because of how important that's become. And for most people in evaluating any type of business, they're online, they're looking at those reviews, and those reviews, either the lack thereof or what they say, can sway the decision.
Yeah, and we have an internal saying too, and you'll like this. We say to teach our clients not to be crazy. So you take that scenario where there is the possibility that they would be upset, but if you set expectations at the very beginning, you tell them what's going to happen and they can expect it, maybe they'll react differently than if they don't know anything about it and then they have that experience. So I think, you know, and that comes with training and processes and EQ, a lot of things like that. But I see this in a lot of firms, they'll work with an SEO agency and not have a good experience. And to me, it's not, a lot of times it is the SEO agency's fault, right? And hold accountability, but there is joint accountabilities. You take things like content. I can tell you right now, 5 or 10 clients that just aren't approving the content. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't go on the website. It doesn't help them rank. You know, we have other clients that only, a couple that only let us get into their website once a week because they have developers and I don't know, there's a trust component there. It's so there are joint accountabilities on both sides. And where I'm going with this is not to make excuses, to say like, the people that are truly successful are in it. Like they're, it's a partnership in trying to move the needle and determine whatever needs to be done to be successful.
But that message is such an important one, I think, that probably doesn't get spoken enough to trial lawyers, is just the importance of the focus on their client experience from start of representation all the way through when the client walks out the door with the check, because of, well, one, having been through that whole thing myself, I can tell you as a personal injury victim, it's tough, even knowing what I knew as a lawyer and being in this space, if expectations are not properly set, it's tough to have a good end experience. I thankfully did. I had a great personal injury lawyer who, you know, was partnering with me to make me understand exactly what was kind of the likelihoods and the outcomes here. But that customer experience, if it's not set at the beginning, and if the entirety of the firm is not committed to the quality of that experience and understanding what that client's been through, because it's, you know, it's very tough if you've been significantly injured to get through it, even if the customer experience is perfect, because of all the trauma that you sustained as a result of being injured.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And but, you know, you take client experience and the customer experience, a lot of times when you relate it to marketing, to understand marketing is, well, what is marketing? Marketing is every activity. It's a lot of times people think it's just to acquire the lead, but it's actually marketing to the existing client experience, right? Because that's your reviews. And it's also the clients that you close out, because they could potentially give you referrals. They could, you know, help activate and reshare your material. So an understanding that everything is marketing and how it impacts a business is really important.
One thing I was going to ask you about, just because of where we are located, is what if you've got a Morgan & Morgan in your backyard, like we do in Orlando and a lot of parts of Florida, and of course, all across the country these days, they've got offices everywhere. And John and now his sons have created this just incredible business machine. But Mm-hmm. When you have, you know, high dollar spenders in the marketing area in your specific locality, how do you face that kind of competition?
The reality is this is really challenging. I would say the biggest, you know, because they have a huge advantage in terms of capital.
Yeah.
I would say to look at your positioning, but also do the things that don't scale on a really personal level. You know, the getting down to a grassroots level marketing scenario, you know, you're getting belly to belly, meeting people, shaking hands, and truly treating them differently. And also thinking about how you're positioning. So they position themselves as size matters and everything's big and blah, blah, blah. Well, what's your individual unique positioning? You know, it needs to be different. You can't, I think if you start to clout the number of cases and the size of your settlements, that's a uphill battle, right? That you're not going to win. But if you talk about, you know, maybe a specific practice area that they don't cover, you know, unique experiences in your story, I think that's what can really, you know, carry more weight. But the reality is it's a challenge because, you know, for certain channels, you know, TV and spot advertising, they're going to be able to get massive buys, radio, and like, how do you stand out amongst the saturation? And I think it's to, on a personal level, you have to do things that just they aren't willing to do.
But that advice would apply really, I mean, any market, you're going to have some firms that are probably going to be able to significantly outspend. So that advice of like, how do you compete is important, because it is going to apply. And you know, usually you're not going to have the type of firm like Morgan & Morgan, because they're a bit of an anomaly, but you're always going to have some firms that have more in terms of resources. So question is for smaller firms, how do you compete and what do you do, right? And
yeah,
so I think that's important. So, yeah, I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to say about that before we...
Yeah, I mean, you look at Morgan specifically, right? They're going to do your bread and butter auto. They're in more premises liability, stuff like that, you know, but there might be cases, you know, soft tissue cases that get overlooked that you might be able to get more value out of. There might be torts. I don't love all sides of the tort business. I think there's a lot of bad players in it. But what I will say is everyone has a competitor in their market that's been doing PI and going for auto accidents for the last 10, 20 years, right? With a new tort, you start kind of on the same line, right, for the race. So it's you versus them. So you kind of start more even keel than, you know, trying to cut through auto and pick up those car accident cases.
So in your book, Niching Up, you discuss the benefits of focusing on niche markets. How does niching down to personal injury law firms specifically help in optimizing the things that we're talking about, SEO strategies, and ultimately achieving better results in those areas?
Yeah, it gives you a target, first of all, so you'll maximize your marketing dollars because you know where your target persona's congregating, you know where to advertise. There's when you talk about SEO specifically, the map pack is based upon relevance, distance, and prominence. So you take relevance. It's how close does the firm's name, the entity name, match the query? So right now, if you type in Philadelphia car accident lawyer, Los Angeles car accident lawyer, you're going to see all these firm names, injury and accident lawyers. Well, there's a reason they do that. It's because the consumer query matches their entity name. So if you're a, you know, birth injury attorney, or if you're a slip and fall, you specialize in slip and fall, and you're a, you know, slip and fall guys, or Steve Gersten, Michigan Auto Law, you stand a competitive advantage for that category. Not to mention all the different, you know, when you specialize, advantages from a profit and margin perspective because of repeatability. So those are some of the things. It niching can help you stand out and be different. You know, there's not a ton of nursing home abuse attorneys or birth injury or slip and fall. Like, most of the people are the car accident lawyers, and I get it, right? There's a lot of those cases, but that's how you can stand out, is just kind of lean into an area. And here's the other thing I'll say. when you think in your head, like, who's going to be more qualified to do, you're talking about physicians, maybe brain surgery, would you say the general practitioner, or would you say the brain surgeon? But every brain surgeon has their first brain surgery, right? There's a perception on the outside of quality when you embrace a certain category or specialization.
Yeah, great point. So, you know, this area in general, marketing on the web and SEO, I think perception is that it's a little bit of magic, but I think part of that seems to me that it's always evolving because there's changes in the algorithms. And so are there any current trends or changes that personal injury law firms should be aware of to stay ahead of their marketing efforts online?
I would say a lot of SEO specialists try to overcomplicate things, and I think there's some wisdom in simplifying things, and meaning you want an excellent website that has a unique selling proposition, that's easy to navigate, that loads quickly, right? That's going to stand the test of time. You want quality content on your website. The quality is a little bit subjective, but it because in our space, in the PI space, quality is table stakes. All your competitors have a car accident lawyer page. So it's looking at, well, what are the other factors? It's reviews and links. Most of the time, what separates a good agency from a bad is their ability to get good quality backlinks. Backlinks is how Google was formed. It was and how they differentiated from AOL, because they use it as a mechanism to categorize the search results. Now, there are different factors and intricacies involved in that now, right, and how they look at anchor text and things like that. But at the end of the day, if you go back to the root of their algorithm, it's still quality content that answers consumer intent and excellent backlinks. And if you do that and you're not taking the shortcuts of maybe click-through rate manipulation and fake reviews and all these short-sighted tactics, then when there's algorithm updates, typically you don't have as much to fear. In fact, if you're doing things by the book and trying to maintain quality, you should benefit while some of the other bad players go down.
So in doing some of the prep for our podcast today, I saw some things that you've talked about in terms of diversifying sources of case leads for personal injury law firms. And I wanted to ask you about that to understand kind of where you're coming from on that point.
Yeah, a few things here. I think that there is a compounding effect where individuals see you on social, then they see an ad on television or a billboard. I think there's this compounding effect that occurs. I will say that individuals congregate in different locations, right? If you're trying to reach an older audience, maybe TV and, you know, still hitting the boomers and older generation, but maybe on the younger generation, it's probably more social. So I think that that's a reason out of its own to diversify in channels. I think too, it depends on the length of time, that orientation. So if you need cases now, you want to look at direct response, right? Google ads, a lot of paid ads. If you're okay with being memorable and being the choice that just comes top of mind, you got to invest in brand. And, you know, that takes a commitment, investing a heavy dollar amount and to just build awareness. It comes over years of time. But I think there's a balancing act depending upon where your firm is at. If it's a new firm, maybe it's 80% goes into direct response and 20% brand. And I think over time, you'll see that ratio shift and more to go to brand and just overall awareness to a particular market.
Doesn't that get back to the idea of you need a strategic plan of how you're going to approach bringing in business, whether it's building the brand awareness or whether it's handing cases in the door today, identifying that and starting to work with someone like you that can help them in the strategies that you're deploying online to achieve whatever their short-term and long-term objectives are?
I think there absolutely is. I think that, you know, back to your earlier question, like what's different and the kind of the landscape, I think just because there's so much competition that significantly more focus should be put on the creative and how you're different. And when I say creative, I really mean, use that term loosely. So I mean your copywriting, your taglines, your phone numbers, your visuals. And you take a channel like TV. I continue to use TV because it's still the number one category of spend for legal. And some individuals will say, well, you got to be one of the top three advertisers that don't even do TV. That's not necessarily true. It is true if you're not memorable. And you just have to beat them over the head 1,000 times before they're stuck in your brain. But if you have something truly unique and memorable and people talk about it, you may not have to spend that much. So I think it comes down to creative and how you're different and how you stand out. That's why when I see on the side of the road all the billboards, I don't care where you drive, you're going to see injured question mark. And some attorney, it's just not memorable. And I understand, like, you're trying to call attention that you're a lawyer, but I think there's room for creativity in every space, every channel.
It's pretty amazing how similar, and even I've noticed, you know, Morgan does some really cool billboards, but they still have the ones that just say injured question mark, call Morgan and Morgan, you know? And like you said, that's way less memorable than John Morgan's head on a fit body that's tanning and talking about, right, you know, how many millions of dollars, cool millions of dollars they've recovered for clients.
Yeah. Yeah. The oversized, Christmas, yeah, you know, that bag, and you've seen them all, the Benjamin Franklin one, you know, and yeah, it's just, look what we're doing right now. We're talking about it, but you know, right, what we're not talking about is, you know, in St. Louis, someone that says injured question mark. It's not worth talking about.
Although my favorite one by far, and I'm sure you saw this, was him defacing his own billboards.
Oh yeah.
Which yeah. At first, there was one actually very close to where our offices are, and I saw it and I'm like, oh my God, like, no. 'Cause, you know, and then when it started happening more, I was like, oh man, that is genius.
There are definitely some creative attorneys out there, like Imrani in California flips his billboards upside down. So you're like, kind of draws attention, you're like trying to read it, right? So there are exceptions to the rule, but I'd say by and large, people are like, oh, I guess I'm going to do billboards. I'll just put injured question mark and put my picture up there. It's like, no, you're wasting your money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like anything else. You gotta capture people's attention and make it so that they think of you when the time comes. So I wanted to ask you, in your opinion, what are the superpowers for a law firm to develop to achieve incredible success in terms of your sphere of expertise?
So asking basically how an attorney can be a great marketer, is that essentially?
Yeah, I mean, I guess really the question ultimately is, you know, a lawyer listening to this, what is it that they have to become excellent at in order to be at the top 10% of those that they're competing against? You know, because really they, you know, most law firms, I think, are looking for that competitive advantage. What are those competitive advantages that are going to boost them? And maybe it's everything we've already talked about, and you can summarize that, or maybe there are some things we haven't touched on yet that would be appropriate to include in that list.
Yeah, I would say consistency among all. Consistency, trying cases, you know, continuous improvement. I look at this a couple ways. You know, if you're an expert litigator, you have a real decision to make, and it's not necessarily binary, but it's like do I want to advertise and originate my own cases, or do I want to be known as the litigator on this topic and try to get more peer referrals? Either way you look at it, you're marketing, right? Because either you're marketing to originate your own case, or you're paying for someone else's marketing. You know, the tactics, if you want to be the litigator, and I think it's a fine strategy, right? You see Joe Fried and doing that for trucking. You know, he speaks to seminars, has his masterminds, and, you know, does a book. Like, he doesn't necessarily have to do as much SEO and TV advertising and things like that. So that's one outlet, right? But you're advertising B2B, you know, or it's B2C. It's, you know, I'm going to be the best B2C advertiser. I'm going to understand where my target persona is, how to reach them. I think overall, it's just creating a strategy and improving and being consistent. I had a call literally yesterday with an agency peer. They were like, they called me to like, hey, how are you getting business for your agency? And I'm like, well, shit, I'm doing everything. You know, first of all, from an omni perspective. But then I came down to it. I was like, well, you just, if you're doing ads and you're allocating this amount, you need to improve your ads and do more. And once you start to get diminishing returns, then consider a different channel. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's consistency and just continually improving your messaging, your positioning, your advertising.
I knew that you've got a conference, and I wanted to ask you about it because I think that those types of opportunities for lawyers to learn in person or, you know, virtually these tactics and what they need to be focusing on is really, you know, the key to unlocking the success in terms of their marketing approach. Can you talk about the PIMCon and how that might help personal injury law firm owners?
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Yeah, so we're putting on a conference in Scottsdale at the Phoenician, September 15th through 17th. It's called PIMCon. And what I'm doing that's different, you know, what my team is doing is we're bringing attorneys. Most of our speakers, there's only a couple speakers that are non-attorneys, myself and one other individual. And it's all about marketing. You go to a lot of events and there is, you know, some trials, some ops, some paralegals. And I understand, right? So if it's someone that's in the ops or a trial attorney, it may not be right for them. But what we're trying to do is bring individuals that are actually practicing what they're talking about, that are the best of the best. They've been invited. We're not doing any pay-to-play speaking segments, no panels, no crazy breakout session. It's a main stage. It's their core ability. And we're just teaching attorneys how to originate cases and generate leads through top-end marketing.
So if somebody's interested in learning more about that conference, how can they learn more about it?
Yeah, good question. Thank you, too, Jason. It's PIMCon.org has all the information there. You can see the speakers, the agenda. We've got Michael Phelps going there. He's a keynote speaker. We've got David Spade, the end of day one. He's doing a comedy show. We've got some great speakers. You know, Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan you mentioned earlier, Alexander Shannara, James Helm from Top Dog Law, some really Amanda Demanda, some really, really top-notch attorneys, and most of them are phenomenal marketers.
All right. Do I get an invite?
Oh, yeah. I got one for you.
So for any of our listeners who've got questions about anything you've talked about, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, my direct emails, and maybe I shouldn't do this for every show I go to, but it's Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at rankings.io. Just shoot me an email. I'm an inbox zero guy, so if you shoot me an email, I'll see it. But if you want to learn more about my business, it's rankings.io. If you want to learn more about the conference, it's pimcon.org.
Well, I can just definitely testify to the fact that you're very quick about your email responses, which I'm a zero inbox kind of guy too. So I totally love that when I get that back. Although I think we are a little bit programmed to be immediate responders in our world today, which can put people on a hamster wheel, but we'll put that to the side for a second. It definitely nice when you're trying to connect to get that immediate gratification and response.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just drives me nuts. My wife has got the notification about 80,000 showing, and I'm like, please just let me log in and clean this up.
Yeah, that would totally stress me out. Chris, man, it's been a pleasure to have you on Trial Lawyer Review, and we'll see everybody on the next episode.
Thanks so much for having me, Jason.
Thank you for tuning in to Trial Lawyer View. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion and encourage you to tune in to our next episode for more helpful insights about your practice. This podcast is brought to you by Synergy Settlement Services. Visit synergysettlements.com to learn more about how we allow trial lawyers to focus on what they do best.